The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
Hello, everybody. Come on in. Sit right down. Maybe you're sitting already and driving. Appreciate you being here on this Thursday morning, the 17th day of September 2020. How are we doing? We have a great day today. We're going to go deeper into the red hot state Senate District 30 race that contains Shelley Luther and Drew Springer, whose ad you just heard. But we're also going to say hi to Andy Hopper, who's running in that race. We're going to cover everybody in there before we are done. One of the great writers and satirists and essayists of our day, the great PJ O'Rourke, joins us at 8:35. He has a book called A Cry from the Far Middle: Dispatches from a Divided Land. Should be fun. 8:35. Our buddy Mike Gallagher joins us at 7:35. So much every day going on. So glad to be here with you. And it was great to be with you last night, afternoon/evening, doing the Larry Elder Show. Had a fascinating premise that I was going to save for this morning, but I'm sitting there, you know, yesterday at about 6:30, and I thought, well, let's hit folks with this. And pardon the shocker, keep the car on the road. Let's say, God help us, Biden wins. I know. What then do we start to think about 2024? What then instantly needs to be done? The answer is keep Donald Trump as healthy as possible. He would then become, the day after Election Day, the instant dominant frontrunner for 2024. Because you can be elected twice to the presidency, right? Doesn't have to be consecutive. So we talked a little bit about that. I want to throw that at Mike and see what he thinks. And a couple of other things that are a step away from the headlines. Plenty of headlines, plenty to do. Joe Biden actually appeared before reporters yesterday. And this is funny. This is what makes me think. And people have said, yeah, Mark, what makes you think Biden's going to do okay in the debates? Because I just do. I just do. Expectations are so low that if he is actually lucid for an hour and a half, people will think that it's like the Lincoln Douglas debates. It's so lofty and so great. And my point being that if you get Joe, you know, enough coffee and Red Bull, he can stay on message for a little while. And he took some questions yesterday. And that's why I think the debates, which are the 29th, which are just 12 days from now, the first debate, Chris Wallace, your first moderator. I really think it's not going to be, wow, Joe collapsed and had an aneurysm, or wow, Joe forgot what city he was in or what his name was. I think it's going to be on content. And that's good news, too, because Shut Down Joe is now talking down the vaccine. There's only one human reaction, only one human reaction that should be had right now about a vaccine. That is universal hope and good wishes for the people who are trying to cobble one together so that we can move toward beating this. Anybody politicizing this, anybody casting doubt on it because it might happen during Trump, That goes beyond politics and into the world of sinister. And you're going to hear what that sounds like here in just a bit. You're also going to hear what it sounds like when we go dig up old John Kerry audio. Ah, John Kerry, why in the world would I do that? Well, wait for it. Because in the Mideast peace, this magnificent deal struck between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain, which shows a whole new way to go about Mideast peace. It's basically to tell the Palestinian leadership, listen, you just continue to dream of the violent eradication of Israel, which you do. And that's the leadership, not the rank and file Palestinian people, the blood soaked, terrorist stained leadership of the Palestinians. And we're going to make deals with people who want to make deals. We're going to bring about peace with people who are interested in peace. And that will they will increasingly feel the sting of the outcast the loneliness of the pariah. And it won't matter because they just enjoy lobbing rockets into Israel, which they did the other day on the occasion of this deal. But John Kerry, I described on the show yesterday, I guess last couple of days, that there's a kind of a condescending think tank, we know better, upper muckety muck Georgetown cocktail party. You great unwashed, you think what you want to think, but we know there's only one way. And mostly this comes from Democrats, but it's come from plenty of Republicans, too. There's only one way to bring about Mideast peace, and that's to make sure the Palestinians are happy. Guess what? Palestinians are never going to be happy until they love their own children more than they hate Jews. Okay? That's an old Golda Meir quote, I believe. So John Kerry, somebody found this, and it's all over the interwebs this morning, and it's delicious. It's full condescending, snooty, pinky in the air John Kerry. I'll play that here in a second as soon as we do something much more important. You ready? Lord, we ask you this morning for wisdom and for goodwill. The wisdom to navigate all the problems we have, and they are many, COVID-19, social strife. Please fill us, Lord, with the energy to be smart and safe as we reclaim our lives in the virus era. We pray for success for the minds working to help us with a safe vaccine. We lift up those whose lives and livelihoods have been sidelined by shutdowns and restrictions. Help us find smart solutions to our social ills as troublemakers seek to divide us. Amid these divisions, which are going to happen, we understand that, but as we hash things out, let us do so as we treat each other with respect and patience, working together to change the things that really should be changed, but to resist those people who would opportunistically sweep aside our history and our culture. Remind us, Almighty God, that in the most challenging of times, you are there to unite us, to follow your guidance, and to show us how to treat each other as we would like to be treated. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen. All right, let's see. Boy, the other big thing that I stumbled across overnight is, hang on a second, a story out of Nashville. This is wild. A local Fox affiliate, Fox 17, in Nashville, uncovered some emails in which Nashville city government discovered something shocking. They discovered that with the reopening of bars and restaurants, that not only did it not create some super spreader, but that the percentage of cases coming out of bars and restaurants was unbelievably low. And the city government instinct was to keep that information from the public. What in the world could inspire such treachery? I'll play a little local news piece from there. But first, oh, let's please do John Kerry's greatest hits. This is from 2016, and this is John Kerry, the smartest man in the world. Differ with him, and you are an idiot. This is what he brought to the 2004 race against Bush. He brings it everywhere. Now, is John Kerry a smart man? Sure. Is he an accomplished man? Sure. But really smart people can be really wrong about things, and it's not because they're you know, missing brain cells. It's because the way they look at the world. And John Kerry has the predilection, the Democrat predilection of making sure that the Palestinians are placated. And there's also let's just call it an undervaluing of the Israeli position on things. And that had become the norm. You know, and this is what it looks like when you have a president, when you have an administration that actually treats Israel like an ally and values Israel as the only functioning Western style democracy in the Middle East and views things through that lens. So this is just 40 some seconds. This is delicious because here in just the last few days, what you've seen is President Trump. And I got to tell you, enormous high five. As I said last night on the Elder Show, I go back and forth on Jared Kushner from moderate admiration to relative nonchalance. Okay. It's like, okay, Jared Kushner, great. I don't know. It's funny because I don't know how conservative Jared is. I don't know how conservative Ivanka is. And that is the main thing that I use to examine people, the main criterion. But if somebody, however he may feel on 14 different issues, if he can come in and broker a deal like this in the Middle East, then good for him. And it involved essentially telling the Palestinians, if you're not going to change your ways, then we're going to go achieve peace between Israel and all kinds of other partners, all kinds of other factions in the Arab world. Something that 4 years ago, Professor John Kerry told us simply would not work.
There will be no separate peace between Israel and the Arab world. I want to make that very clear to all of you. I've heard several prominent politicians in Israel sometimes saying, well, the Arab world's in a different place now. We just have to reach out to them and we can work some things with the Arab world and we'll deal with the Palestinians. No, 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 and no.
Oh, my.
I can tell you that reaffirmed even in the last week as I have talked to leaders of the Arab community. There will be no advance and separate peace with the Arab world without the Palestinian process and Palestinian peace. Everybody needs to understand that.
It just gets better every time I play it. It just does. When you take a look and listen, is it possible with 2020 hindsight to find people who have been wrong about stuff in retrospect? Of course, me among them, who's 100% right about every call they make all the time. But this is so colossally wrong. And it shows the value of a different way of looking at things. And shall we just enjoy it one more time? So keeping in mind that right now, the Middle East is safer, Israel is safer, the Arab world is safer, because opportunities for alliance are being achieved. Because the Arab world and Israel have had a long-standing gripe forever. But what are the opportunities for partnership? Because the UAE and Bahrain and Jordan and Egypt, they all recognize the evil of Iran. The enemy of my enemy is my friend is often true in personal relationships and often true in diplomacy. And so here, the Trump administration achieves this magnificent breakthrough, establishing opportunities for cooperation, for diplomacy, for economic partnerships between vast, rich portions of the Arab world. The wealth, the economic wealth of the Arab world, the technological wealth of Israel, these are partnerships that will yield enormous benefits across the Arab world. And will further chase the Palestinians into a corner where I really believe that after a few more deals like this are struck, it may be the one thing that leads the Palestinian leadership to wash the blood of terrorism off its hands and realize once and for all that the violent eradication of Israel, which has always been a goal of Palestinian leadership, must be forsaken. And this deal these last couple of days is one of the great things to happen in world peace in a generation. With more, here's John Kerry.
There will be no separate peace between Israel and the Arab world. I want to make that very clear to all of you. I've heard several prominent politicians in Israel sometimes saying, well, the Arab world's in a different place now. We just have to reach out to them and we can work some things with the Arab world and we'll deal with the Palestinians. No, 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 and no. I can tell you that reaffirmed even in the last week as I have talked to leaders of the Arab community. There will be no advance and separate peace with the Arab world without the Palestinian process and Palestinian peace. Everybody needs to understand that.
So, boy, the Hal J laugh is going to kill me one day. How has Hal stayed alive? Woo! All righty. Let's take a pause, come back, and let me play for you a little local news out of Nashville. Now, why is this? Why is this interesting? There's enormous attention paid to local governments, you know, mayors, city councils, then governors, et cetera, every level of government as to how they're shooting straight with us, what they're doing, what they're not doing in terms of the reopening, in terms of COVID data, et cetera. At noon today, looks like Governor Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Patrick are offering up some revisions on Texas COVID guidelines. Might involve the opening of restaurants to 75%, which will instantly spark two types of reaction. One is a certain relief that says, yay, this is a step toward fully reopening. That's great. 75 is better than 50. There will also be the reaction of, screw you, Abbott. it should be 100, and if it's not, you're a dictator. Okay. Okay. And then that starts to filter through that interesting District 30 Senate race, where that last view is totally the Shelley Luther view, the Drew Springer view. Is kind of, okay, I might not have agreed with everything with Governor Abbott, but I'm going to work with him rather than kick him in the crotch every day. So we'll see what prevails here on the 29th of September. But out of Nashville, city government sitting on good news. What do we talk about all the time? That there are elites there that from the left and from government, and there are people who just love the lockdown. They're enjoying this way too much to the extent that they are shielding. They are covering up great, great news. A huge seething example of that out of Music City. You'll hear about it next. Mark Davis, 722.
Say, hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
So if I have a story out of Nashville, might as well play some Hank, right? Well, that's a good idea, but there's another reason to play Hank. Today is his birthday. Born 97 years ago today in 1923, Hank Williams, who made it only to 29. So we'll throw some Hank into the bumper library today. But okay, Fox 17 in Nashville, and what it feels like to be lied to with a shielding of good COVID news.
Breaking tonight, coronavirus cases at Nashville bars and restaurants may have been so low the mayor's office and the Metro Health Department decided to keep it a secret.
Emails between the mayor's senior advisor and the health department reveal only a partial picture, but what is in them is disturbing. Fox 17 News' Dennis Ferrier has the story.
The discussion involves the low number of COVID-19 cases coming out of bars and restaurants, and most disturbingly, how to keep it from the public.
On June 30th, contact tracing was giving a small view of coronavirus clusters. Construction and nursing homes causing problems, more than 1,000 cases traced to each category. But bars and restaurants, a total of just 22 cases. Leslie Waller from the health department asked, quote, "This isn't going to be publicly released, right?"
This isn't going to be publicly released, right? The low numbers coming out of bars and restaurants. The great news about that for the Nashville economy.
Just info for mayor's office? Correct. Not for public consumption, answers the mayor's senior advisor, Benjamin Eagles.
Uh-huh.
1 month later, the health department is asked point blank about the rumor that there are only 80 cases traced to bars and restaurants. Tennessean reporter Nate Rao asks, quote, "The figure you gave of more than 80 does lead to a natural question. If there have been over 20,000 positive cases of COVID-19 in Davidson and only
Davidson County, where Nashville is,
80 or so are traced to restaurants and bars, doesn't that mean restaurants and bars aren't a very big problem?"
Uh-huh.
Metro Health Department spokesman Brian Todd asks 5 Metro Health Department officials the question, "Please advise how you recommend I respond."
So a reporter actually asks a question, having uncovered actual good news, and the city seizes up and convulses and circles the wagons. How in the world do I answer this? How in the world do I answer this? How in the world do I answer this?
The name at the top of the response is clipped off, but you may find the answer unacceptable. Quote, "My 2 cents, we have certainly refused to give counts per bar because those numbers are low per site. We could still release the total, though, and then a response to the over 80 could be, quote, because that number is increasing all the time and we don't want to say a specific number." Neither the health department or the mayor's office would confirm the
I wonder why.
Authenticity of the emails. But Councilman Steve Glover asked a Metro staff attorney to inquire. Here's the official answer. "I was able to get verification from the mayor's office and the Department of Health that these emails are real."
And so is the dishonesty. And this is why sometimes you got to walk around and think, is there anybody I can trust? Is there any, when so-called experts screw things up, so-called experts politically spin what they're saying, people, you got somebody running for president talking down the vaccine because he doesn't want a vaccine, rather have people die than have the vaccine happen under Trump. We got leaders at the city and county level shielding the public from good news. this is a sorry. Listen, the virus is bad enough. I mean, the virus is terrible. And it's a situation made worse by this kind of dishonesty and duplicity. That story out of Nashville. But there we are. Now, is this rampant? Is it epidemic? I don't know. But can examples be found? Yep, and one's too many. All righty, 7:32. Let's get into the news with Gordon Griffin. Come back and let's say hi to our talk show buddy, Mike Gallagher. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Here's Gordon. All right. It is a Thursday. 866-660-5759 for your thoughts on stuff going on in the news, in the world, in your life. Little vintage Steely Dan and Kid Charlemagne, our favorite guy in the world. Talk show buddy Mike Gallagher is here. Good morning, Mike.
You were a big hit yesterday on Team Gallagher.
It got invoked on the Elder Show. I had a couple of people call. There must be people who just listen to Salem stations all day long, which every good American should do. And people were kind enough to say, yeah, Mark, I really enjoyed you on the Mike Gallagher Show earlier. It was great.
You are not a good American if you don't listen to 6:60 a.m. The Answer, morning, noon,
matter with
and
you.
Night.
That's right.
You're anti-American. That's exactly what it is.
You did
a great job last
thanks,
night.
Thanks.
Hey, can I? You know Joe Rogan?
Oh,
got a,
yes.
This guy's got 190 million podcast listens, or however it works, a month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm a radio guy, and I know. Please forgive me, Phil Boyce. I don't know about
podcasts. This podcast thing, in my day, yeah, we tuned a radio, we drove around, and we liked it.
I know. Charlie Kirk's going to save the world. I know. I get it. We get it. I love the young whippersnappers.
Oh,
I love the
so
podcasts.
Awesome. That's so awesome.
I love it. So here's Joe Rogan, who is enormously successful in that space. And, you know, he made news a week or so ago where he offered to moderate a debate between Trump and Biden.
Yep.
It's not going to happen, and this is probably why it isn't going to happen. Here's what Joe Rogan said yesterday about the prospect of voting for Joe Biden.
I'd also vote for Whoopi Goldberg over Joe Biden. I'd vote for Mike Tyson over Joe Biden. I just don't think it's a good idea to take someone who's struggling with dementia and put him in one of the most stressful positions the world has ever known. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's not an endorsement of Trump. It is me saying you shouldn't have a man who's clearly in the throes of dementia. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but when you can't form sentences in public and you forget what you're talking about and you wander off into these conversations, if you're not smoking pot, you're not high, if you're not on pills, like, what's going on? Well, there's cognitive decline. He's an older man that has mental issues. And,
now,
I
want to go back let me finish. I'm
shut
sorry.
Up, Joe.
But yep. Well, he went on for a few minutes.
Well, first,
there,
that's a curious look for a guy who's trying to host a debate. I mean, wouldn't you kind of try to play? I mean, maybe he knows that ship has sailed. It was never going to happen, so he could share his real feelings.
Perhaps. You know, Larry O'Connor, who's a great radio host out of Washington, D.C., wrote a piece at Town Hall this week that reflects your attitude, because I'm going to respectfully disagree with your attitude about Joe Biden. And I know what you're saying, and I get it. You referenced his press conference yesterday.
Right.
And I thought, man, to me, that's the glaring example of how out of it Joe Biden is. But Larry O'Connor agrees with you. He wrote a column, Stop Lowering Expectations for Biden's Debate Performance.
Mm-hmm.
Larry says, if I hear one more conservative pundit talk about how Vice President Biden doesn't stand a chance against President Donald Trump in the debates, I'm going to lose it.
Yep.
He says, don't fall into the trap. Yet, let me lift up the example you yourself cited this morning. Yesterday, Mr. Biden stood there at a podium for about 11 minutes. After he gave his prepared teleprompter comments, he pulled out a sheet of paper from his coat.
I know where you're going.
And he only called on five reporters that were already preordained by him and his team.
By name.
Mm-hmm. Called them by name.
Yep.
There's a internet conspiracy that the questions were already scripted. I don't know that I believe
that's
that.
That's probably the secret too big to keep. But go ahead.
I think that would get out. But that's okay. CBS, let's talk to Caitlin. ABC, let's talk to Bonnie.
Mary Bruce, right, uh-huh.
Whoever, Mary. Mm-hmm. My hometown paper. By the way, Steve Ducey's kid, what's his, is it, what's the kid? Peter Ducey. Mm-hmm. He's covering the Biden campaign. He's in the front row waving his hand. Fox News ain't getting called on. They're not going to call on Steve Ducey. He calls on five people, Mark. He gives one quick answer and turns on his heel and walks out. Now, an hour later, there's President Trump at the presidential podium at the White House.
Yep.
He's calling on everybody multiple times. He's up there for an hour doing what he does.
Yep.
There's no comparison between
these two guys. That's totally true. And the previous night, Trump was sitting there with that snake George Stephanopoulos in a snake pit of so-called undecided voters, just batting away, it was like batting practice. And he's just knocking them over the fence. So you're totally right. And yet Larry's point and mine, I guess, is don't discount the possibility that Biden somehow sort of makes it through the debate without any horrible meltdown moments, which will enable Democrat America to go, ha ha, look, those conservatives thought Joe was brain damaged. He did just fine.
No, all of us who have had experience with elderly loved ones remember and know a very common phrase. He has good days, he has bad days.
Yep.
I remember that about my father-in-law when we were caring for him in the nursing home.
Sure.
Kurt had good days and he had bad days. Uh-huh. Joe Biden has good days and bad days.
Yes.
And you could be right on September 29th when Chris Wallace is going to sharpen his fangs and hopefully
to
go
whatever
after,
degree. Chris
well,
Wallace.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, but yeah. You'll see. I think Chris is going to surprise you. I hope, anyway. But nonetheless, Joe Biden could have a good night or a bad night.
Mm-hmm.
If the Joe Biden babbling about quartermasters, I mean, first of all,
hair on my leg.
I wonder if he's going to wear his mask. You think he'll stand there with his mask on?
Wouldn't that be the ultimate troll to have Biden just sit there and say, "Okay, Mr. President, I'm ready to go." Oh my God,
I got to say this real quick.
Go ahead.
Speaking of the, and I don't want to do. We're not going to go down the rabbit hole on masks.
Okay.
But I'm sitting in the studio yesterday in the middle of the show, and I look up, and there's Fox News on one of my monitors.
Is this the picture you
sent
me?
And they go, the National Hurricane Center, the guy standing in a TV studio.
Yes.
With a mask on in the studio by himself.
That probably has an automated camera in front of him. We don't even have cameramen or women anymore. So that is total affectation, total virtue signaling. All right, listen, we've been talking about Biden. Here was 45 seconds or so where he did actually speak in a sentence you could diagram. And that's why even if Biden is successful in communicating his message, that is still good news on debate night because it's a message that will sound something like this.
We can't allow politics to interfere with the vaccine in any way.
Okay, there's Biden saying we can't allow politics to interfere with the vaccine. Oh, yeah. Okay, can't allow politics.
Americans have had to endure President Trump's incompetence and dishonesty.
I thought we couldn't allow politics. Okay, anyway.
When it comes to testing and personal protective equipment, we can't afford to repeat those fiascos. When it comes to a vaccine, when it occurs, the stakes are too high. American families have already suffered and sacrificed too much.
Almost done.
So let me be clear. I trust vaccines. I trust scientists. But I don't trust Donald Trump.
So, but that's from the guy who 30 seconds ago said we can't allow politics to put. There's political stuff, Mike. I'm serious about this. This is sinister. This is just terrible, terrible public behavior.
See?
To talk down the vaccine and to cast doubt. Joe Biden is thus willing to have, and I'm so sorry about this, but I mean it, more dead Americans than to have a vaccine that comes out that will benefit Trump in the timing.
And Trump wasted no time in pointing out moments after Biden's press conference, Trump stood there and said, Biden is putting lives at jeopardy. Human life is at stake. We should all be in favor of a safe and effective vaccine as quickly as possible. Every day that we don't have one, more businesses are going out of business. People are depressed, despondent, suicidal. There's more domestic abuse. Our communities are being destroyed day by day. Biden's in a bad way on this. There's no way around it. These guys are between a rock and a hard place because they're trying to have it both ways.
Exactly.
They're saying, don't politicize it, and yet I'm going to politicize it because, heaven forbid.
It's all they've got.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to give credit where credit is due, and I believe in this. Biden does have a good talking point that he's developed, and I predict you'll see more of it because it really is it's effective.
Yeah.
The rioting, the violence, Biden said yesterday, he's the president, and he kind of whispered it, and it was pretty effective. And it was he's got a point. This, you know what,
What does that mean? Okay, so is that a suggestion that Trump should have come down with a heavier hand on the rioting?
Of course,
because if he did, Joe Biden would have been the first person to call in Hitler.
Of course, I'm just saying it is an effective defense that you cannot wiggle out of. This all of 2020 happened on Donald Trump's watch.
I totally disagree.
That's all.
I completely disagree with the notion that that is a good point. It's a terrible point.
It's not a good point. It's a good defense. It's a good talking point for the Democrats. It's a lot better than you can't politicize the virus. I tell you that, or the vaccine. It's a lot more effective than saying, "Hey,
Can we have fun for 90 seconds? Because it's a I promised everybody I'd throw this at you because it came up yesterday. I brought it up. It was actually from a Chris Hayes at MSNBC tweet who said, "I keep telling everybody this, and I don't listen to Chris Hayes for anything, but he's dead right about this. If Biden wins, the 2024 Republican race is over. Donald Trump is your front runner, and no other candidates need apply." With more, here's Mike Gallagher. What do you think?
Well, this is the headache for Trump haters. He ain't going anywhere. Believe me, if he were to lose, and I pray he won't.
Please let that
one of the happen. Things I think will happen is some kind of Trump media outlet. There's been all kinds of rumors. There were rumors even before the election that he was going to form a
Trump
cable
TV
news
or
network.
Something like that, or called
He ain't going anywhere.
Let's keep him healthy. You want to see a 78-year-old candidate that is coherent? Trump 2024, baby.
Worst nightmare.
It is, because if indeed we have a Trump second term, then you got Mike Pence, you got Ted Cruz, you got Marco Rubio, you got Chris Christie, you got Dan Crenshaw, you got Nikki Haley. 50 people I'm all really interested in seeing. If Biden does win, God help us, there's only one guy I want to get us out of that lake of fire, and that's Donald Trump in 2024. And I'm dead serious about that.
Amen. Well, but let's be ready here, because they're going to throw everything they got, Facebook and Twitter. They're censoring views. Tucker Carlson last night, that powerful segment he did, they took down that Chinese doctor's comments and her Twitter. They banned her because she's claiming that the virus came from a lab in Wuhan.
Exactly. What?
She's a respected, published, scholarly doctor from China who fled China.
To her view? Exactly right.
Oh, took it down. They banned it. They said, no, this is big tech. Listen, we're working right now with an advertiser. I think I'm going to be talking about a company that does VPN.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are saying the technology is a VPN where you don't have the IP address. Like, that used to be the footprint, and now there's all kinds of counter technology, because we must stop big tech from censoring views, and it's bad. It's really bad. It's frightening. It's Orwellian.
Truly is. I had something literally on Twitter this morning. There's a group that put an ad up about not having boys. They are boys who identify as girls, or they think they're girls. Running in sports, running in track meets against girls. The boys are going to win. I identify as a girl. Doesn't matter. You're a boy. And there was an ad that's how unfair that is to our girls in athletics and in achievement and for scholarships and such. And Facebook, at first they struck it down and censored it, and then they hit it with a label saying that it, quote, lacked context. Lacked context? So
it's called censorship. By the way, before I get censored, for the record, I love Charlie Kirk. Love Charlie Kirk. The best. He's so good.
We're old guys, and we're just fascinated. it's like unfrozen caveman lawyer. We are perplexed by your podcasts. We don't totally understand how that means when there's no actual radio antenna outside the building. It's just us being us.
Well, I'm going to start at 10:05 and hope I get a lot of clicks. So wish me well for my clicks.
It's viral, Mike. He's ready to go. Yeah. I love you, man.
Love you, too. Take care.
Mike Gallagher, today at 10, 660 AM, The Answer.
Came in last night at 10:30. That baby of mine wouldn't let me in, so move it on over.
Okay, George Thorogood and the Destroyers in 1978. Yeah, there was that.
all, 'cause the big dog's moving in.
But the original, 1947.
She's changed the lock on our
from Hank Williams. Born 97 years ago today in 1923. So we're going to have a smattering of Hank among the bumper library today, and a smattering of your calls coming next on a wide variety of issues. Let's go. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, it's Thursday.